Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
What about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay. Oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what'd you think of Charade?
I believe it's pronounced Charade. I mean, they're in France.
Sharif?
No, that's a different guy.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was fun.
So did I. welcome to You Want Me to Watch What, where on a normal month, Chad and I recommend movies to each other that the other hasn't seen, and then we watch and discuss. This being the month of April, our spouses decided to get involved. A couple weeks ago, Chad's spouse picked a movie that neither of us has seen.
Cat Baloo.
This week, my spouse picked a movie that neither of us had seen.
Charade.
Yes. So...
there weren't nearly 1,000 tails in this one. Close.
Not as many gestures as I thought either.
Yeah, I tell you.
So, okay.
Really misdirected everything.
Yeah. 1963 Audrey Hepburn, Cary Grant movie. We're going to spoil it.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, if it's been on your radar to watch...
go watch it.
Go watch it. Yeah.
Then come back and listen
then
to us.
Then come back. Okay, so Audrey Hepburn plays Regina Reggie Lambert. We first meet her on holiday in the French Alps, and she says to her friend Sylvie that she's going to divorce her husband because they're not in love.
Reasons.
He lies all the time. She doesn't know anything about him, really.
No.
She comes back home, and her apartment is stripped bare. And the police show up and say, you need to come with us. Well, he's been found dead in his pajamas, thrown off a train.
It's a heck of a way to go.
Yeah. Here's the bag with
his stuff.
Not much.
Mm-hmm.
So at the funeral, her and Sylvie are sitting there and the police inspector in the back and nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Then a guy comes in and sneezes. Another guy comes in, puts a mirror under,
under his nose.
Charles is his name, the dead husband. Puts a mirror under Charles's nose. Third guy shows up, pokes him with a pin, like a straight pin. Charles is dead.
Yep, no longer in charge.
At least four different people have confirmed in four different independent studies that Charles is dead. These three men... Scobie, Leo, and Tex start to harass Reggie.
Right.
Yeah. She's summoned to the CIA ambassador at the American embassy. And turns out that Charles and these three guys stole some money, some not unconsiderable amount of money from the U.S. government during World War II. $250,000.
U.S.
U.S. 1963 money.
Well, was it or was it 1944 money?
Well, the movie was made in 63.
Fair.
So we'll say, yeah, okay, yeah, 1940s money.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they have no proof of this, but from what they've pieced together... They stole the money. They hid it. They were going to go back and get it after the war. And now Charlie's dead and the other three want their cut.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Peter.
Peter Joshua.
Peter Joshua, played by Cary Grant. I almost said Hugh Grant because reasons.
Well, you know.
He had previously met her while she was on holiday, introduced himself. They have a mild, flirtatious fling, and then life goes on.
Bit of tete-a-tete.
Yes. He shows up to console her, helps her move into a hotel because all of her stuff's gone. Apparently, Charlie had sold everything in auction.
Sold it all at auction.
Sold it all at auction.
Hopped a train.
Hopped a train.
Gonna go to Venezuela or something.
And was unceremoniously hopped off.
In his pajamas.
In his pajamas, yes.
Which you must not forget, my best beloved.
Yes. So, as the movie goes on, it's kind of a whodunit sort of thing, because you've got the three guys who are trying to get find the money.
That's mystery number one.
That's mystery number one. You've got Reggie, who has no idea what Charlie was doing, where the money is, or why she's even still involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got this Peter person who says he's here to help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he later confesses to being a guy by the name of Alexander Dial. Carson Dial, his brother, was the fifth member of this crew who had died.
He was the one who took the picture that she examined.
That's true. That's true, yes. So there's a lot of names floating around now, and the hunt for the money continues, and people keep dying.
And that the second mystery is who's doing the killing.
Yes.
First mystery, where's the money?
Yeah.
Second mystery, who's doing the killing
yeah.
to get it?
Because first Scobie dies.
Well, first Charles dies.
Oh, that's right. First Charles dies.
Because don't know.
We don't know who killed him. And then Scobie dies.
Yep.
In his pajamas.
In his pajamas.
Yeah.
Well, no, but that's how he's discovered.
Discovered, yes. And then later, Leo is murdered.
Yep.
In his pajamas, legitimately, that time.
Which you must not forget. Oh, no. My best beloved.
It just keeps going this way. Who's doing the killing? Well, now we're down to
Tex.
Tex and
Alex.
Name's Adam.
Oh, Adam now.
Adam, yeah.
Right. We skipped that.
He's a thief.
Yep.
He's a
son
thief.
Son of an umbrella frame maker.
Yes. And he steals from people who wouldn't really notice and have way too much.
Really, that's the best way to
steal. That's the best way to steal. So it's now down to Tex and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tex ends up dead. Not in his pajamas, though.
Tex figures out where the money is.
Yes.
And then so does Adam.
Yes.
And then Tex ends up dead.
Yes. Reggie thinks Adam did it because Tex didn't know Adam wasn't actually Dial, and he had written the name Dial in the carpet before mm-hmm. he died. So clearly, Adam is the one who killed. She contacts the guy at the CIA who shows up, who actually is Carson Dial. He didn't die.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
For a 60-year-old movie.
Yeah. And so, shootout and a chase scene occurs, mm-hmm. which results in Dial dying.
For real this time.
For real this time, and not in his pajamas.
Weird.
Yes. And so Adam and Reggie go to return the money to the American embassy.
Mm-hmm.
She gets there. She goes to the treasury agent. He excuses himself. She goes into the office, and there sits Adam. He's actually Brian Cruikshanks, U.S. Treasury agent, who's been charged with recovering this money the whole time.
Or is he?
Or is he?
This is easily my favorite part of the ending, is that you still don't know.
He tries to, you know, yes, no, I am, really. And he gets on the intercom and talks to the secretary out there. And
yep.
She's demanding identification. He says, well, I'll show you my ID when we get married next week. And throughout the movie, she's in love with him.
Yeah, weirdly.
Yeah. And every time he changes his identification, she's just like, well, now I got to remember that name.
Mm-hmm. Which she does.
Which she does. You know, and so, I mean, the movie ends sort of open-ended, but not really.
Not really.
Not really.
No, it's a lot of twists and turns in it.
Yes. And a lot of funny moments.
A lot of really good camera angles, too.
Oh, God, yes. The only thing I knew about this movie going into it was that it had been hailed as the best Hitchcock movie Hitchcock never made.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
You're on the search for a MacGuffin. The MacGuffin itself isn't of actual importance to the story.
Yeah. And the vibe of the movie kind of has that Hitchcockian feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Except there's more comedy.
Lots more comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And a very modern style of comedy where
yeah.
the language is very fast. The back and forth is very quick.
Yeah.
Reminds me a bit. We just saw it when we finished the movie, saw the ad for His Girl Friday. Similar thing.
I've never seen that one.
The We probably won't watch it if we do. Cool. But it was marked by very fast talking and very fast back and forth, which hadn't really been done in comedies at that point.
True.
Which everyone was so used to theater, right? Even into the 60s, you know, you're used to theater where you say a line, you get the punchline, you wait for the laugh, then you go on.
Yes.
You know, that movie did away with all that. You know, it just... And that's the same kind of thing we see in today's comedies. You know, this has a very similar kind of feel to it, is that you're talking very fast. There's a lot of very fast back and forth. You're laughing, but you don't laugh too loud. Otherwise, you're going to miss the next joke.
And there's very little, like, physical humor that goes on in this movie. It's all dialogue.
It is not a slapstick movie.
No. I think the only, quote, slapstick is, in the beginning, Sylvie's kid has a water pistol and keeps squirting people in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's all verbal.
Did you notice that it was the same style of gun that Dial used?
No. I didn't.
So at the very beginning, it's that German style. And then at the end, when he's walking around in the theater, it's the same.
All right. Chekhov's water pistol.
Chekhov's water pistol. Yeah. But it lends a good kind of closure to it, you know, because that's basically the first scene of the movie outside the train scene.
Yeah.
Is out on the veranda, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And then you just see this German pistol, you know, stretching out and pointing directly at Audrey Hepburn's character.
Yeah.
And so then at the end, when that same thing is happening, it's like, oh, right.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, for a movie that neither of us have ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We should really ask our spouses to pick the movies more often.
That's true.
I mean, this is a month of good movies.
I know. And
well, almost a month.
And all we had to do was watch them. We didn't have to think of anything.
Man, isn't that weird? Yeah. Anyway.
So
Cary Grant.
Yes.
Fabulous as Cary Grant.
Yes.
I mean, and he's not a young man. This is...
No, I did the math. He was in his late 50s.
So this is one of those things where it's a little bit late Roger Moore Bond kind of age differences here.
Yes.
And it plays out kind of that way sometimes. Especially when there's like the references to him treating her like a child and him saying, well, stop acting like one.
Yeah, because she's in her mid-30s, early to mid-30s.
Is she?
In that movie, I did the math, yeah.
Okay, the actress is.
Yes, no, yeah. The age difference between Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn in the movie was she was in her early 30s. He was in his late 50s.
Okay. Because
they never say character's age.
Because I get the sense that she's playing a character who's younger than that.
Probably, yeah.
But Audrey Hepburn is a gem, a jewel, an amazing actor. You know, facial expressions are off the charts.
Yeah.
In being able to just... anything that's necessary in the moment. Walter Matthau.
Yes.
Nice. You know, the way that his character is developed through the thing.
And music by Henry Mancini.
I love Henry Mancini. Yeah. Such good music.
Yeah.
Very bouncy. Like bouncier than I was expecting.
Yes.
I mean, so, yeah. I don't have a lot to discourage anyone from watching. I mean, I think it's even, this would be good on repeat viewings, even knowing the twists.
Yeah.
Because after the twists, now it's watch for the tells.
Yeah.
And I think you ought to make special mention to the sound design in the boat scene.
Yes. Okay. So like a lot of old movies, they didn't really shoot, quote, on location. So there's a scene where they're on a boat, and it's going down the river and going under tunnels. Well, everything that you see beyond the boat is
clearly superimposed.
Clearly superimposed. And this is in the days before green screen and blue screen and whatever, so it's...
Yeah, it's just a movie going on behind them.
Yeah, so it's very clear that they're not right there. The sound editor, when they went under a tunnel, added reverb to the voices of the people who are talking while they were under the tunnel.
Which is beautiful. Such an easy thing to miss.
Yeah. And they did it twice in the same scene.
You know, I hope there was some kind of award or at least an acknowledgement of that.
Well, if not, they got it now.
They got it now.
So,
The Peanut Gallery's laughing at us.
Yes, they always do. So, I recommend it. Go see it.
Absolutely. See it.
Yes. All right, I guess next month we got to get back to our normal shtick, so I guess it's your turn.
Oh, yeah, I got an idea.
Okay.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.